My guest at this time is John Fund of National Review Online. He's also the author of the brand new book, Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. It's the second book Mr. Fund has written on voter fraud, whether he sees the system ready to go or a lot of problems that could potentially throw a few monkey wrenches in the system. And John, thanks so much for being with us.
Pleasure, Greg. Well, the problem starting out is we have the sloppiest election system of any industrialized democracy. The Pew Research Center, which is a nonpartisan group, says 1 out of 8 of our voter registrations are either invalid or contain major errors. That's a problem. They also say we have 2 million dead people on the voter rolls. Look, I believe the dead deserve honor and respect, but they don't deserve representation without respiration. And if you have dead people on the voter rolls and you vote in their name, they're not likely to complain about it. Thirdly, we have 4 million people who are registered in more than one state, which means they can vote in more than one state. Now, people say no one would ever do that. Well, college students sometimes do it. In addition, a Democratic congressional candidate in Maryland, the nominee of her party, did it a couple months ago. It was found that she had voted in both Florida and Maryland. She was very civically engaged, and she had to resign her position. So we have a lot of underbrush, and when you have underbrush, you can have fires, and I fear we could have a fraud fire.
There are some efforts, of course, to make the system more accurate. We saw the major push for photo ID at the polls, which the Obama administration has vigorously opposed. There was also a push, particularly in Florida, but I believe in other states, to clean out some of the dead from the voter rolls and others who don't belong there. That has also been objected to some extent. What do you make of those efforts, and what do you make of the efforts to stop them?
In addition, there was an effort in Florida to get non-citizens off the rolls. We discovered through the work of an NBC News affiliate in Fort Myers, Florida, they went to their county jury records, and they found that over hundreds of people had claimed that they couldn't serve on a jury because they were non-citizens, but they were registered to vote. And in some cases, they had actually voted. So, again, you know, they went to the Obama Justice Department or the Department of Homeland Security, and they said, well, you have the best lists of foreigners living in this country, both legal and illegal. Please give us the name so we can cross it, reference it with our voter registration rolls. Justice Department refused. And they spent 10 months trying to get them. Finally, when they took them to court, and they were sure to lose in court, the Obama administration finally turns over the records. So it's been a scofflaw administration. They don't want people to be asked if they're citizens. They don't want to clean out the dead. For example, the Bush administration was suing states that had accepted federal money to clean up their voting systems, but in return they had to cull some of the bad names from their voter registration rolls. They were on the verge of winning in Missouri. They had a slam dunk case. Missouri has 40 counties where there are more people registered to vote than there are adults over the age of 18. We call that a clue that mischief may be afoot. And as soon as the Obama administration takes office, what do? Just as in the new Black Panther case of voter intimidation in Philadelphia, they drop the case and they say, we're not pursuing it, even though they were on the verge of victory.
John, obviously the polls show a very tight race in the presidential contest, plenty of very tight congressional, Senate races, other state offices on the ballot, with 1 out of every 8 voters on the rolls having some sort of issue that makes them incorrect. How much confidence should we have in what we see Tuesday?
So far, it's not been horrible because we are finally paying attention to irregularities of the polls. You know, we've always, ever since the civil rights struggle of the 1960s, when we got rid of poll tax and literacy tests, we've always been very attuned to people trying to prevent or intimidate or block people from voting, and we should be. That's a basic civil right. But everyone in your audience has another civil right, which is not to have their vote canceled out by someone who shouldn't be voting, someone who's voting twice, someone who's a non-citizen, someone who's a felon without the voting right. We need to protect both civil rights. And the fact that we're talking so much about it and the fact that you're doing this kind of program has been helpful because, you know, the left's response is there is no voter fraud. Well, of course there is. And 2/3 of Americans think it's a serious or somewhat serious problem. By talking about it, we're reducing the incidence of it. You know, it's just like shoplifting. If you have a store and you don't put up signs that say, you know, shoplifters will be prosecuted, you don't put up cameras, you don't take any security precautions at all, you're going to get a lot of shoplifting. If you do some basic security measures, you're going to take all of the people for whom they'll only do it if it's a risk-free activity out of the picture, so you can reduce shoplifting 30-40%. Same with voter fraud. If we just talk about it and let people know someone is watching, we're going to have less voter fraud. Now, just last week in Virginia, James O'Keefe, the guy who destroyed Acorn with his videos and humiliated NPR, he taped the son of a congressman, Pat Jim Moran of Virginia, and who was the campaign manager for his father. He taped him discussing a voter fraud scheme whereby they would get around Virginia's ID law for voters. It's not a photo ID law. So you can bring in anything that has your name and address on it. He said this guy was suggesting you fake a utility bill using some simple computer software and bring it in and vote in someone else's name. Now, this is the son of a congressman. This is his campaign manager. So I think the fact that that was videotaped is a very good, shall we say, deterrent to people around the country planning this kind of stuff, because they never know. Maybe the guy talking to them has a camera.
John, what do you make of early voting? Some say it helps to streamline the process. Certainly on Election Day, folks can do it much more conveniently. Others say it's another few weeks to cheat, potentially. So overall, what do we know about the legitimacy of early voting?
It was sold to us on the basis that it was going to increase voter turnout because it made it more convenient to vote. But it doesn't increase voter turnout. State after state has shown that in studies. Now, in terms of spreading out the possible lines for confusion at the polls, I'm not opposed to early voting, but we've taken it out of hand. We should have early voting maybe a week or 10 days before the election. We shouldn't have early voting the way North Carolina did it. You could vote in North Carolina the morning after Barack Obama accepted the presidential nomination in Charlotte in September. In Ohio, you could vote before the first presidential debate. It is ridiculous to allow people to vote before the debates. You know, we have a campaign in order to convince people that maybe they should change their mind. And the concept of early voting, turning election day into election month, is alien to that. Let me give you an example, Greg. Let's say you were suing somebody for damages, and it was several thousand dollars, and you had a really strong case. But in the middle of your lawyer's description of your case to the jury, suddenly three jurors stand up and say, you know, we've heard enough, we're going to vote and leave. How would you feel?
Not good.
Well, same thing with campaigning. We have campaigns in order to build up to a decision point called Election Day. And I think that we can make some provision for people voting early, as we can make some absentee provisions if we tighten up the absentee ballot laws, because that's where a lot of the voter fraud takes place. But we shouldn't have people voting in September. It's ridiculous.
What's the long-term outlook here, John? We have heard about people. Some states, as we've mentioned, have tried to clean up the system. But what's it going to take for actually to get the voter rolls where they need to be?
A lot of states have passed photo ID laws, and they've been blocked and delayed by ACLU and other liberal interest groups. I think that those are going to come into effect. Other states will pass them. I think if we get a new Justice Department, I think the Justice Department will finally be interested in enforcing the law, and enforcing both civil rights, the right to make sure that you're not intimidated or prevented from voting, and the right not to have your vote canceled out. So I think a lot is riding on next Tuesday's election, because I want a Justice Department where the rule of law is paramount, not the rule of politics.
You mentioned a couple of incidents in which there's been some shady behavior, including Pat Moran, the son of Jim Moran. And given what we said before about one out of every eight people on the rolls being iffy, there's certainly the opportunity to cheat. What do we know about how much intent there is to cheat?
Well, if it's a landslide, there's not much intent. If it's very, very close, and I think Tuesday it will be very, very close, there'll be a lot of incentive to cheat. And again, it's easily done. You know, they say there's no voter impersonation fraud. And my response is, how would you know? If you go into a polling place and the public record who's dead and who's moved out of state in many cases, and you just give them a name, they'll give you a ballot. Let me give you an example. James O'Keefe sent a 22-year-old kid with a beard and a earring into the polling place of Eric Holder. Eric Holder's black. This kid didn't look anything like him. He was white. And the kid says, do you have a name of an Eric Holder on your voter registration rolls? And he didn't even say he was Eric Holder. They handed him the ballot. And he said, well, don't I have to show ID? No, we don't ask for ID. He said, well, I'd really feel better if I showed an ID. I'll go out to my car to get it, and I'll be back faster than you can say furious. So he didn't actually vote, but, you know, he made it clear that he could have voted if he'd wanted to. So if it can happen to Eric Holder, it can happen to anyone, and no one would have caught him.
Alarming, to say the least. Thanks so much for bringing us up to speed on where this whole effort stands, and we'll see what impact it may or may not have on Election Day. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Greg. And the book is Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk.
Absolutely. Again, John Fun of National Review Online, as you just mentioned, the title of the book, Who's Counting? How Fraudsters and Bureaucrats Put Your Vote at Risk. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.